Oh, what a beautiful song it was. And brand new guitar, am I right? Glad to have everyone in the service this morning. And the gospel reading and all the readings that are before us are powerful readings. Many times, when I'm working on my readings, lectionary readings or other readings, I thought, these are powerful readings, and when you are preparing to preach something about it, you pray that you don't ruin what you read. God's Word is so powerful. And if we want foundation for our lives and guidance for our lives, and to know what is right, what is wrong, we need to go to sources, which is God's Word. Because otherwise, one can say this and the other one that, but you get lost by only listening to others. We got to learn to read the Word of God. The earlier in our life we learn to do it, the better shape we are going to be. But when I was working on the gospel reading, the sermon title that came to my mind was clear, at least to me it was. And this is what I wrote it down. It is Berea United Methodist Church. God is calling us! An exclamation mark. God is calling us. God is calling us. Gospel of John is one of my, well, let me put it this way. It is my favorite gospel. Of course, they are all God's Word, but just to me, the closest one is the Gospel of John. In the first chapter, as in the words of theology, we call it the pre-existence of Christ. John is building his case that God is forever God. Christ just didn't show up. He wasn't created. But Christ is the Creator. Through Him, all was created. And as a matter of fact, in the first chapter of his gospel, John confirms what the Bible says in the book of Genesis. In the chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning. In the beginning can refer to in the beginning, beyond what we can see, what we can understand. In the beginning, the Lord we are serving is forever God, forever Lord. He has always been, and everything else has been created by Him. This is why we call Him Creator. First of all, in the beginning seems that everything was good in the beginning. In the beginning, everything was good. What was human history all about in the beginning? According to the Word of God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth through His Word. And the Word is Christ. So He was in the beginning, along with Father and the Holy Spirit. They all were in the beginning and from the beginning. And when God had created the heavens and the earth and all the animals, Bible says, that filled the earth and all the birds that filled the sky and all the fish that filled the water, including Bob Schaefer, the little Twinkies you once in a while catch. They all were created in the beginning. And then God looked on them and He said, "It is good. I like what I see. It is good." Then God created human beings, Bible says. In His own image He created them, male and female, in His image. God created us, you and I. We all being created by God. The Latin word says it, imago Dei, being created in the image of God. You are important. You are very important because you being created by God Himself. When creation was completed, God saw it and then He said, "It is very good." So what do you think when God created, after creation, He's looking at the creation He created, including the first humans, and He said, "It is very good." It must have been very good in the beginning. God Himself, the Creator, says, "I like what I created. It is very good." But then the story goes on. This is now your story and my story. But man and woman wanted to be more like God. So this is nothing new about human race, that we want to be more like God. It's been there from the beginning. They had been told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and bad. But they used their free will to choose to disobey God. Free will is a beautiful thing. In a Wesleyan theology, it's very important to us to understand we're being given free will to choose. That is part of creation. That is part of precious humanity. We're being given free will. That is also very precious in the democracy. So that I have voice, I can choose. Now the first humans, they ate the fruit from the forbidden tree, Bible says, and in so doing they separated themselves from God. They separated themselves from God because they went against God's will. That's the biggest sin you can commit. Not the list you and I made about sins. That may not be all that big, but if you go against God's will, that's the master and major sin. And evil entered the world as byproduct of their bad choices. And through a world that has rebelled against God from the beginning, a world that has become broken, as we all know it, evil has wreaked its havoc, and chaos is something we witness every day in different forms. Now, this is a big step to us, but where is the world today? The world you and I live in. Remember, Jesus says, "You are in the world, but you are not from this world." We are in this world, but we are not from this world. God created us for eternity. We can say, unfortunately, we live in the world where bad and sad things happen all the time. All the time. There is no end to it. And where people live under very unfortunate circumstances and conditions. And we feel helpless before them. Part of havoc of evil is suffering and death. We have in the world, we live in the world that is confusing and unsure today, and it has been that way since the beginning. We cannot always find the answer to our many, many questions. And oftentimes things just don't seem to make much sense to us. Depending on your experience in life, you may have a wide range of emotional responses to different kinds of conditions and circumstances people live in. For example, let me say a few. And you can continue this list endlessly, really. What about hunger? What about homelessness? What about drugs and alcoholism and other substance abuse? What about domestic violence or violence in general in any community and everywhere in the world? What about children? What about children who have been left behind to live on their own without supervision or care for from parents? You say that can't be, but it is reality today. You know it. There's nobody there at home for them, watching if they do their homework. Nobody fixing meals for them. No supper, no breakfast, no lunch, no nothing. By the way, did you know that your children may be attending school with another child who is afraid for the weekends? Summer breaks, fall breaks, spring breaks. Why? Because they don't know if there's anybody at home, if they can have one meal, if there's any protection whatsoever during these wonderful seasons that your children are looking forward to. They like to come to school and back to school every day through the year, because at school they get at least one warm meal and care and somebody asking how you're doing. When they go home, there is nobody and nothing for them who cares, protect them, guide them, ask questions, and love them. Then there is grief in this world. There's grief. Some of you are grieving today. Then there are fears, the horrors, despair and anger, hatred. There is racism, loneliness of seniors, loneliness of single people. There's loneliness of young people. There's anxiety and nightmares. There are uncertainties. There's depression. There are all conditions that comes and be part and become part of human life in this world, in this community where we live as well. And I can assure you that all these conditions, all these circumstances of life are also part of our lives here in this community as well. So go back to the calling. Why I'm seeing, why we seeing God calling us specially today and these days. Why is He calling us? And what is God's calling for us, Berea UMC, and friends who are worshiping with us at home? Can we see God's heart broken for our community, for our homes, for the homes of this nation and homes all over the world? And what is God's response to a community permeated by bad and sad things constantly happening? What is God's response? How He planned to fix this? How He planned to reach His hand toward these people? What is God's response when God's heart is broken for all this and these sad things? Worries us, concerns us, makes us sad. Let me try to answer what I believe personally the church over the last 2,000 years has given as its answer to God's response to a broken, fallen community and evil world. God's response is love in Jesus Christ. Love in Jesus Christ. That's right. Love in Jesus Christ, love that you have experienced. And if you have not experienced Christ's love, rush to Him, run to Him. Ask Him to love you for Himself. Now the Bible tells us that God so loved the world. That's amazing, isn't it? Considering all this. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. Not just life in this world, but have eternal life. Eternal life. Life forever. And yes, when you think about it, this is the same world that rebelled against Him and threw evil and brought evil and suffering and death upon itself. Because what makes me sad as a pastor, I've been pastoring for quite some time. And when you are discussing with somebody and talking about sad things happening in his life, in her life, and then all of a sudden you hear these friends start blaming God about all that. Blaming God about that. And then you try to get into that conversation by saying that, hey, wait a minute. No. That's not God. God has a better plan for you. He loves you. He created you. He wants to make you whole. He has done all he can do. Only God can do to reach out for you and for any circumstances you live in. Don't blame God, but surrender him and upon his grace. He loved this world that he sent his only son to be a light to the nations so that the world might begin to be transforming to God's love found in Jesus Christ and found in those who follow him as his disciples today. Berea, UMC, are we following Christ as the Christian believers, or who are we following? Are we following Christ today in this darkening world, or who we follow? We're being called to follow the perfect love. His name is Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to show us how much the Father loves us. How often we misunderstand the concept of God. We are trying to do well and behave well because we understand that God is hunting me, being excited to punish me and trying to find reason to punish me, to corner me, to put me down. And sometimes that kind of atmosphere is also dwelling upon the churches. God loves you and God changed your life on the cross of Calvary. And you need to reach out for him and let him love you and change and transform your life. And by so doing, you can help people in this world. They are desperate to seek the truth. How much he longed for love, to love us and to gather us together under his wings of love and comfort. That is God we have learned to know through Christ, our Savior. And then God formed a church like Berea United Methodist Church. Don't ever call this by pastor's name or anybody's name. I am not too excited about even calling him by denomination's name. Every church is Christ's church. Jesus is church. This is his church, and we need to behave like that. Church that continue to be witness of that love in the midst of this troubled world and community. Now, are you getting a picture why we have been called? What for we've been called? Are you a little hazy why we have been called? I believe the Holy Spirit is making it clear to us this morning. The church continues to bear the name of Christ, the only name that brings us hope and transforms us and transforms our communities and even transforming you and I into the likeness of Jesus Christ, Imago Dei. And the church is the only institution who can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's going to be a big cross on the lawn of this church. On this side, I'm pointing at it. I had a vision one morning, I don't know if this is too big word, vision, but I start picturing it. To have a bigger cross visible to us all and testimony that we want to bring on and forward in this community despite of anything else. To have a big cross would be a gathering place, place of devotions, place of prayers. The monument, the sign of unity and power of Christ. And I share this thought with our United Methodist men's gathering one Saturday morning, and they bought it in. He said, we got to do it. That sounds great. It is not monument to us, even to this church. It's a reminder who we belong to and where the power comes from and where the hope comes from. It is the cross of Jesus and the one and the cross and the one who died for us on the cross. So it's coming in a week or two. It's going to come. I think we are going to make a plan yesterday morning that by the time I'm coming home from a little vacation, we are headed with my wife to Finland for a couple of weeks. My brother is sick and many reasons to visit once in a while. When we come home, we put it up there. It's ready, almost ready to go. It's going to be very big and visible. It's going to be our gathering place. It's going to be a place for our devotions and prayers. When you come here, you can lean on it and pray. Youngsters can have their devotions there. And by the way, youngsters, youth will help us to dedicate it in our service on the lawn on September 14th. It's going to be officially dedicated at that time. The church is the only church when we live our lives as those who follow Jesus Christ, offering love, healing, and compassion, and truth, and forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ into this world. Hope, hope. I told yesterday morning our men's gathering that on Friday, this past Friday, I am on campus pretty much by myself, so I'm trying to be a secretary. I'm horrible secretary. Don't turn to me if you have secretarial help. I will ruin it almost. But I try to be a pastor and usher and maintenance guy and everything. But then we have these people who come to ask for help, homeless community. And I was working on something in my office, and I try to pay attention who is coming, who is going. There's somebody ringing the bell. I went to the door, and I saw there's this man that I have seen before a couple of times. And I asked what he needs, and he needed food. And I gave him food, of course, because you are providing your pastor and staff tools to give food to people. And then you have given, church, you have given me a discretionary fund to help people in their utilities and different kinds of payments, a little bit. This man was there, and I helped him, gave him a bag of food, and he was getting ready to leave. And then I turned around and came back to my office. But then all of a sudden I felt, no, don't let him go just like that. Don't let this man go just like that. So I turned around again and I said, hey man, how are you busy today? He said, no, not busy. I'm not busy. I said, why don't we sit down on the bench, chat a little while, if you are not in hurry. He said, I'm not hurry at all. So we talked 10, 15 minutes. Listen to me. I truly believe that if I didn't take time for 15 minutes for this man, I really don't know where he would be today. And this is not me at all. I think he was so down and depressed and low that I don't know what he would have done for his health, for himself. I was able to bring hope into his life. It was not just a little bag of food, but it is seeing people where they are. It is seeing people where they are. And this is what church is all about. Can you hear Christ calling? Can you hear Christ calling for children, for youth, their families, for elderly, for lonely, for homeless, Can you hear Christ calling? Don't never say that you haven't been called, because you have. So something to take home today. Let's remember this. The Christian community that is inspired by God's love has no limits whatsoever for its ministry. We shouldn't spend one meeting of any kind to thinking about why we cannot do this, talking about our limitations, which are obvious. Let's talk about what God can do through us, who've been loved and who pass it along. I am asking you, my friend, today, in your heart, to step forward and feel deeply for this community, for any communities in the world. Pray and make your ministry commitment to love them for Christ. Something you know would do good for one person. There's a Jewish saying that I have quoted a few times, and it is so very true, saying, by helping one person, by loving one person, you have helped and you have loved the whole entire world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship by the ministry of giving, if the ushers can come forward at this time.